States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Alan G. Lance presiding. All who have business before this court draw near, and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning. My name is Judge Lance. To my right is Judge Davis. To my left is Judge Greenberg. This is the time, place, location, and hour established for hearing in the case of Nathan Yancey versus Robert A. McDonald, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, docket number 14-3390. Will counsel for each party please note your appearance for the record?
Your Honor, Jenna Zellmer of the law firm of Chisholm and Kilpatrick. With me at counsel's table is Barbara Cook and Zachary Stoltz, also of the firm.
Welcome.
Your Honor, my name is Shereen Marcus. I represent the Secretary in this manner, and with me in counsel's table is Deputy Chief Counsel Christopher Wallace.
Welcome. Thank you all. Are there any preliminary matters to be discussed at this time? For all parties, please be advised that I'm a little hard of hearing and I didn't wear my hearing aids this morning. So, all right. Counsel, the floor is yours.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. The veteran has three foot diagnoses as of related to his service-connected foot condition that do not have specific diagnostic codes enumerated in 4.71A. He has diagnoses of plantar fasciitis, a heel spur, and a moderate stress fracture. He also has diagnoses of metatarsalgia, hallux rigidus, hallux valgus, and pes planus. Combined, these diagnoses render him unable to walk without extreme pain in his feet. He needs to take breaks after 10 to 15 minutes walking. He's unable to stand in one spot for prolonged periods of time. And he's unable to carry heavy objects because it puts more weight on his foot disability. His service-connected foot disability results in greater impairment than his current 30% rating under Diagnostic Code 5276. That code only contemplates his pes planus. The board misinterpreted Diagnostic Code 5284 when it held that that code did not apply to the veteran's service-connected foot condition.
Counselor, let me ask a question. In Copeland, the court held that only unlisted conditions can be rated by analogy.
Yes, Your Honor.
And what are Mr. Yancey's unlisted conditions?
Mr. Yancey's unlisted conditions are plantar fasciitis, moderate stress fracture, and a heel spur.
Those are all the unlisted ones, huh?
Yes, Your Honor.
And why aren't the symptoms of those conditions contemplated by existing ratings, do you know?
The ratings for Diagnostic Code 5276 set out specific symptoms. Those symptoms do not include heel pain or ankle pain or his inability to walk or stand for longer than 15 minutes at a time. I like to think, Your Honor, of Copeland, Procarum, and Yancey as a Venn diagram or a spectrum. On the one hand, you have Copeland, who the veteran in that case had hallux valgus and he had pes planus. Both of those diagnoses have specific diagnostic codes. And so the court found that 5284 was not applicable. On the other hand, Mr. Procarum had pes planus, which does not have a diagnostic code. And I'm sorry, he had pes planus, which does have a diagnostic code, and he had plantar fasciitis, which did not have a diagnostic code. However, in Procarum, the board found that the veteran's symptoms of plantar fasciitis were contemplated under the 50% criteria for pes planus, which contemplates tenderness of the plantar surfaces. Mr. Yancey falls in the middle. He has the moderate stress fracture, and he has the heel spur. The Diagnostic Code 5276 does not contemplate those symptoms. So Diagnostic Code 5284 is the most applicable code, and the board misinterpreted the diagnostic code when it found that the veteran did not meet the criteria for foot injuries. Mr. Yancey's foot condition qualifies as an injury under the plain language of Diagnostic Code 5284. An injury is defined as any harm or damage. Here, the veteran suffered harm in service when he used his foot to the point of pain. On record page 924, it's a service treatment record, the doctor said that he had experienced pain with increased activity. That qualifies as an injury, and as such, Diagnostic Code 5284 is the most applicable diagnostic code to rate the veteran's symptoms.
Counselor, what was the appellant's military occupation specialty?
Your Honor, I don't have that right now. I'm happy to look it up.
So he was a personnel officer, wasn't he? Sitting at a desk.
That sounds right.
Can you tell me, sorry.
No,
go ahead. Can you tell me how he was injured? I take it there's no question as to service connection, but I think the court would be interested to know just how this injury occurred that required the treatment while he was in service.
Your Honor, the service treatment record simply notes that he experienced bilateral foot pain that was increased with activity. So the service treatment record did not specifically say the origin of his service injury, and then the rating decision simply noted that the veteran experienced foot pain in service and granted service connection based on that.
Thank you.
Counselor, to your knowledge, did the service member's entrance examination indicate any kind of pre-existing conditions?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor. The plain language of Diagnostic Code 5284 makes clear that the code is meant to be a catch-all code for rating foot disabilities that are not expressly accounted for in the other codes under 4.71A. The Diagnostic Code lists foot injuries, comma, other. The term other must mean something in this Diagnostic Code. If the Secretary had intended for foot injuries to be a result of a traumatic injury, it could have said the word traumatic. The Secretary has set out ratings for traumatic brain injury and for traumatic arthritis. Here, the Secretary's plain use of the language other indicates that it meant the Diagnostic Code to be a catch-all to cover a wide variety of foot conditions that are not specifically enumerated in the other diagnostic codes.
What evidence of record demonstrates that Mr. Yancey's disabilities combined to produce the effects that the board did not consider?
Your Honor, the veteran's foot disability has been noted to render him unable to walk without extreme pain in his feet. He's unable to sit or stand for more than 10 minutes at a time, unable to walk for more than 10 to 15 minutes at a time. His feet cramp when he lies down to sleep. These conditions are due to his whole foot disability, not just the arches as contemplated under Diagnostic Code 5274. He also experiences heel pain and pain in his ankle and numbness in his toes. None of this numbness is specifically contemplated under Diagnostic Code 5276.
Counselor, your brief indicates that the appellant has to take frequent breaks from standing at his place of employment.
Yes, Your Honor.
What kind of work does the appellant do?
Your Honor, he's a supervisory position. He works as a defense contractor. So he goes and supervises other workers. I can find out more specifics if Your Honor would like me to.
No, that's fine. In the Secretary's brief on page 8, they argue that the appellant contends the symptoms of burns, metatarsalgia, hammer toe, and dependence on orthotic inserts are not contemplated by 5276, therefore warranting an extra scheduler referral. That's your argument. However, orthotic inserts is a type of treatment for flat feet, pes planus, and Diagnostic Code 5276 contemplates its use as non-improvement with orthotic inserts, which would entitle the appellant to a 50% rating. Why doesn't the reference to 5276 cover some of the other symptoms here? Because 5276 contemplates the use of orthotic inserts.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the board has provided a decision that basically says a lot of the appellant symptoms were in fact covered by the rating schedule, and there's no need to go beyond that. So is this a good example of exactly that argument, that in fact it is covered by the rating schedule and no need to go beyond that?
No, Your Honor. The veteran's pain in his heel and his ankle, his numbness in his toes, are not contemplated by the rating schedule. The fact that he's dependent on orthotics is a fact that's material to the board's overall discussion of 3.321B1. The first step of that analysis requires the board not just to list the veteran's symptoms, which is what the board did here. The board also needs to look at the level of severity of the veteran's condition, which includes the effects on the veteran's employment or potential effects on employment. That's consistent with this court's holding in Thune. On page 115 of that decision, this court cited to VA General Counsel Precedential Decision 6-96. That decision, that precedential decision, notes that when a veteran raises the issue that his effects on employment are greater than that contemplated by his rating, 3.321B1 is for consideration. The court in Thune cited the effects on employment language in 6-96 in its discussion of the first step of the extra scheduler analysis.
Okay, in your reply brief on page 1, then, and I guess this may get to the point that you're making, 5281 instructs the VA to rate hallux rigidus as hallux valgus. And you mentioned the severity issue, and I assume that's part of your point. That aspect of the rating was not included in the board's decision.
Yes, Your Honor. The board also made a clearly erroneous finding that the veteran did not have a diagnosis of hallux rigidus, but that diagnosis is noted on record page 257. Here, the board erred when it failed to recognize that diagnosis and when it failed to award a rating under hallux valgus. The rating criteria instructs the rating board to assign a rating based on severe hallux valgus. So he would be entitled to a 10% rating for his hallux rigidus had the board properly considered that evidence.
Well, there are two other conditions that have specific diagnostic codes, hammer toe and metatarsalgia, 5279 and 5282. Why isn't that adequate?
Your Honor, that's not adequate because the veteran has not been rated under those diagnostic codes. Each of those diagnostic codes pertains to a specific area of the foot and specific disability related to that area of the foot. Diagnostic Code 5284, on the other hand, contemplates the foot as a whole. It would more aptly rate the veteran's whole foot disability.
To your knowledge, has the appellant been unable to maintain employment at all?
Your Honor, he hasn't been unable to maintain employment, but he has received accommodations from his employer in the form of breaks when he needs to take a break from standing and walking, and he also wears unapproved footwear. His place of employment requires formal shoes, and he wears soft shoes because it's easier on his feet to walk.
Okay, thank you.
The effects of the veteran's disability on employment must be considered in the first step of the Thune analysis. This is consistent with the court's definition of the elements in Thune, and it is also consistent with VA General Counsel Opinion 6-96. Here, the board erred when it merely listed the veteran's symptoms and failed to consider the level of severity that his foot disability provides. That includes the effects on his employment. The veteran also has multiple service-connected disabilities, which the board erred, when it misinterpreted 3.321B1 because it failed to consider the combined effects of those multiple service-connected disabilities.
Counsel, did the appellant raise the argument regarding the combined effects of multiple disabilities?
Yes, Your Honor, in our opening brief.
To the board?
Oh, no, Your Honor. The plain language of 3.321B1 requires the board to consider the multiple service-connected disabilities regardless of whether or not the veteran specifically raises it.
If it's reasonably raised in the record.
Yes, Your Honor. When a veteran has multiple service-connected disabilities, that reasonably raises the issue. This is consistent with Comer and Roberson. Those holdings indicate that the veteran is always seeking the highest possible rating when he seeks an increased rating claim. Here, the veteran had service-connected hemorrhoids, which caused discomfort sitting, with prolonged sitting. His service-connected knee condition and his service-connected foot condition caused precluded prolonged standing and walking. Combined, these negative effects compound such that the board erred when it failed to consider whether or not his current rating adequately contemplates those effects.
So your position is that the record is fairly clear with respect to it being reasonably raised?
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, the veteran in his notice of disagreement noted that he altered his gait and standing position to alleviate his foot pain, which in turn caused pain in his service-connected foot condition, knee condition. That's on record page 465. So although the issue of combined effects analysis is always raised when the veteran has multiple service-connected disabilities, here the veteran explicitly raised that.
Counselor, what effect should we give to the court's decision in Dingus and Smallwood? Have you thought about that?
Yes, sir. I understand your question to be related to deference. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Your Honor, first, the plain language of Diagnostic Code 5284 indicates that it is a catch-all code. And the plain language of the term injury simply means any harm or damage. So on the first hand, deference is not an issue because we are dealing with the plain language of Diagnostic Code 5284. Even if Diagnostic Code 5284 is ambiguous, the Secretary's definition is entitled to no deference under Gray and Fountain. The Secretary's definition in this instance does not represent his considered viewpoint. Under Gray, the court noted that the Secretary had previously defined blue and brown waters differently, and that had provided no rational basis for distinguishing between the two. Here, the Secretary has defined injury for a limited purpose in other instances as distinguished from disease. However, he has also used Diagnostic Code 5284 in board decisions to cover a wide variety of foot disabilities. The board found that Diagnostic Code 5284 more appropriately contemplated all of the veteran's diagnoses for his foot. The Secretary has also commingled the terms disease and injury. As noted in Fountain, the Secretary noted that tinnitus is an acoustic trauma. However, that tinnitus is defined as an organic disease of the nervous system. So, Your Honor, for those reasons, we would say that first, the plain language of Diagnostic Code 5284 is plain and means it's a catch-all. And second, the Secretary's definition is entitled to no deference.
Thank you. Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you. Your Honors, the court should interpret Diagnostic Code 5284 as a catch-all code that applies to a variety of foot disabilities that are not otherwise enumerated in Diagnostic Code or in Regulation 4.71A. It should also reverse the board's finding as to the veteran's diagnosis of hallux rigidus and interpret 3.321 to include the effects on employability in the first thunit element. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. We'll now hear from the Secretary.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. It is the Secretary's contention that the board's August 2014 decision be affirmed, as the board in that decision granted an initial rating of 30% for bilateral pes planus and initial compensable ratings for left and right foot hallux valgus. They properly applied the law, and the decision was supported by an adequate reasons or bases, and the appellant has failed to meet his burden of showing any clear error in this matter. With regard to the court's October 2015 order and the questions posed therein, it's the Secretary's contention the Diagnostic Code 5284 is clear and unambiguous on its face, and therefore the plain meaning should control. The other two questions go to the interpretation of extra scheduler under Section 3.321B1. Although the questions are asking for the interpretation of Thun and Johnson, really it goes to the application of the regulation, and therefore the Secretary asks that the agency's interpretation of that regulation be given deference. Namely, it's the agency's interpretation that the Thun element, what once extra scheduler is claimed by the appellant or reasonably raised in the record, which it has to be done, whether claimed on an individual disability or combined effects disability, it's not an implicit part of an increased rating claim.
May I interrupt you for a minute? You say that the 5284 statement, foot injuries, comma, other, is unambiguous and that it relates to service-related foot injury. Why shouldn't we interpret foot injuries other as unambiguous and it relates to all foot injuries, other?
The plain meaning of 5284 in the Secretary's opinion, Your Honor, is that foot injuries other means that it is to be applied to conditions caused by a foot injury not otherwise specified in the rating schedule.
Why didn't it say that?
That's the inference that can be made, can be drawn from the diagnostic code, which does not take it outside the plain meaning.
Well, don't you agree that if the Secretary needs an opinion to deal with his own regulation, it's not unambiguous?
It's possible that it could be read ambiguous. However, it's the Secretary's opinion that it's unambiguous. However, to the extent the court finds ambiguity with the language of the diagnostic code, the Secretary still asks that the agency's interpretation be given deference as not inconsistent with the rating schedule or plainly erroneous. In specific, while we cited to a couple of general counsel opinions in our briefing to define the word injuries, external trauma, in preparation of today's argument, I also ran across another general counsel opinion. It's 9-98. I brought a copy with me, but in that particular general counsel opinion, it is explained that Diagnostic Code 5284 was contemplated to rate all kinds of injuries, and that particular general counsel opinion even gives examples, traumas to the foot such as fractures and dislocations to the forefoot and toes, the talus and midfoot, and so it's clear that the agency's intent in Diagnostic Code 5284 was to use the diagnostic code only in cases of conditions caused by injury. And the fact that the word injury is used and not something more generic such as condition or disability further indicates that on its plain meaning. And also, in any case, it's the secretary's position that in this particular fact pattern, 5284, regardless of how it is interpreted, cannot be for application because the veteran is service-connected for pes planus and hallux valgus, both of which have their own diagnostic codes. And under Copeland, this court held that diagnostic code 5284 is not for application where an appellant is service-connected for a condition that has its own specific diagnostic code, such as this case.
Counsel, but you heard the appellant's counsel's response to my question earlier, so let me ask you to follow up with that. There are a number of unlisted conditions or symptoms. How do the existing rating provisions cover the concerns that appellant's counsel raised?
Well, there are two different concerns there. One has to do with the diagnoses that she mentioned that are not covered, that are different than pes planus and different than hallux valgus versus symptoms that aren't specifically indicated in the rating schedule. So with regard to the diagnoses, such as I think she mentioned hallux rigidus for one, our main response to that is that in this particular case, this is an appeal of the initial rating of pes planus and hallux valgus. By the time the rating decision came out, the veteran had already been given two VA examinations, which indicated other diagnoses of the foot. And the rating decision only service-connected bilateral pes planus and hallux valgus of the right and left foot. The veteran did not disagree with the characterization of his service-connected disabilities. He only disagreed with the initial rating, and that is only the only thing that is on appeal. There's no presumption of secondary service connection, and nothing that the court would do today would preclude the veteran from filing service connection for those additional diagnoses to the extent that they can be attributed to his service-connected pes planus and hallux valgus or directly related to service. With regard to symptoms, however, that goes towards the nature of the rating schedule. And the nature of the rating schedule is not to be an exhaustive list, an encyclopedia of every possible manifestation of a particular disability. The rating schedule has measurements for an adjudicator to use to assign the appropriate diagnostic rating. That may encompass, basically looking at the rating schedule, you're looking at whatever reasonably encompasses the symptoms that go along with that disability. So flat foot under 5276 indicates things like pain on manipulation, marked deformity, calluses, use of orthopedic shoes. It doesn't say things like it really hurts after I walk a few blocks or I have to take frequent breaks, but those are things that are reasonably encompassed in this rating schedule. And indeed, I would also note that the board noted those types of symptomatology, those types of complaints in the decision, and that's part of the reason why an initial increased rating of 30% was granted.
Counselor, even if the court holds that the plain language of 5284 limits that code to traumatic injuries of the foot, could a non-injury still be rated by analogy under that code?
It is possible for a non-injury to be rated by analogy under 5284 in unusual situations. It's not that it can't be used by analogy, it's just that if it's not a condition caused by an injury, one of these other diagnostic codes would more likely be more analogous. And that's really the point of wanting to define and clarify that this diagnostic code was contemplated for conditions caused by injury.
And you factored in the Hudgens case?
Yes.
In that?
The Hudgens case in the sense that for the way that the board has applied it in the past has no precedential value and does not assert the secretary's position currently. Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
With regard to the other questions that go to extra scheduler and how to apply the FUN elements, it's been the precedence of this court that initially an extra-scheduler component, an extra-scheduler issue is not a component of the increased rating claim, that the appellant has to raise the issue or it has to be reasonably raised in the record. That was the holding in Beringer v. Peek, and the mere fact that now the Federal Circuit has held in Johnson that extra-scheduler could be asserted on a combined effects disability basis shouldn't change that holding. It still needs to be something that is raised by the appellant or reasonably raised in the record.
Now, counsel, let me ask you two questions on that point. Was this raised by the appellant at the board, and or is it reasonably raised by the record?
On an individual disability or
on the combined?
On the combined.
Right.
It's the secretary's position that it was not raised by the record on a combined effects basis.
Okay. And what about by the appellant?
Or by the appellant. So the appellant had noted some comments by that are in the record. Your Honor, I'd like you to keep in mind that before the board, while it's not before the court here, before the board, they had numerous increased ratings on appeal before them. Mm-hmm. So the fact that the appellant was making statements regarding the severity of some of his other service-connected disabilities is not reasonably raising Johnson. He was merely indicating the severity of those conditions in support of the increased rating claims that were on appeal before the board. Those issues are not on appeal here, but they're certainly relevant into understanding that those statements do not reasonably raise the combined effects disability here.
I understand. Another question regarding the medical record. To your knowledge, is there any indication on the entrance examination regarding pre-existing conditions?
It's been a while since I looked at the service treatment records, since this is an increased, primarily an increased rating. But from my recollection, I do not. Okay. I do not think so. Now, with regard to the FUN elements, once the issue has been reasonably raised in the record, it's the agency's interpretation of FUN v. Peek that the elements explained therein are sequential, so they do go in order, but the analyses are wholly separate and very different, such that an error in one element would not cause an error with the second element. The first element, as this court described, it's really a comparison between the level of severity and symptomatology of the veteran's service-connected disability with that of the rating schedule. But once again, the regulations make clear that the rating schedule is not an exhaustive list of every possible manifestation that could be coming out of a various disability, but rather what the adjudicator is to do is to look at the claimant's symptomatology and determine whether the rating schedule reasonably encompasses his symptomatology or if there's something about his disability picture that's wholly outside of what was contemplated in coming up with the rating schedule. So again, as I was using the example with Flatfoot, which indicates symptoms such as pain on manipulation and deformity and extreme tenderness and having to use orthopedic shoes, what's understood is that every single person is going to be different and human and react to these symptoms different. Some might use the prescribed orthopedic inserts. Some, like this appellant, might choose to wear loose-fitting sneakers to work instead of having to use his orthopedic inserts and then uses a brace at night to stretch out his heels. That's not extra-scheduler. That's just two people dealing with their disability differently. Some people might have tolerance for pain to use over-the-counter Tylenol or ibuprofen, and others, such as this appellant, might look into surgical options. Those things are not extra-scheduler. As the regulation explains, we're looking for an exceptional case, something wholly outside the rating schedule, and something that makes the rating schedule not workable. And also, the regulation was written in the 1940s, and the secretary was doing that with the proviso that the rating schedule was going to be amended from time to time. And certainly it has. So today, the rating schedule is far more complete than it was back when this ratings regulation was first written. And it's understood then that the rating schedule, being as completed as it is, it's hard to come up necessarily with a hypothetical of where this particular veteran could have a disability beyond what the rating schedule contemplates. And I think the reason for that is because he simply doesn't have anything that's outside what the rating schedule contemplated. So the board properly found that Fund Element 1 was not satisfied. Fund Element 2, however, goes to looking if something is identified, if some unique disability picture is identified, that's not enough. This court held that you have to move on to Fund Element 2 to look at that disability manifestation and is it causing any additional impairment in their earning capacity, looking at those governing norms such as marked interference with employment or frequent periods of hospitalization. In this case, because there was no symptomatology identified that was not reasonably contemplated in the rating schedule.
So taking periodic breaks does not interfere with one's employment?
It certainly does, Your Honor, but that is something that is contemplated in the rating schedule. The rating schedule as a whole, as explained in the Regulation 4.1, already contemplates occupational impairment, including exacerbations of those injuries. It was not intended, 3.321 was not intended to be something that would require adjudicators to look at the veteran's particular employment situation in every case. Rather, the rating schedule was created with the understanding that the average impairment of earning capacity, those occupational impairments, have already been contemplated. And it was to streamline the disability adjudication process. So once the disability is assigned, it's considered adequate to compensate for those types of occupational impairment. So no, the board did not have to specifically address that. And to the extent he has occupational impairment, he's schedularly rated for it. In fact, if you were to skip to step two in every case, anytime the veteran has a scheduler rating, of course he has interference with employment. That's why he has the scheduler rating that has been assigned. So, Your Honor, in conclusion then, the Secretary's position is that Diagnostic Code 5284 is clear on its face. It says foot injuries other, does not use the word conditions or diseases, and therefore the plain meaning should control that it's only applicable for conditions caused by a service-connected injury that's not otherwise specified in the diagnostic code. To the extent that there's any ambiguity with that diagnostic code, we just ask that the agency's interpretation be given deference, as it is consistent with the rating schedule and with court precedents. Extra scheduler, it's the Secretary's position that that is a equitable relief to be applied in exceptional cases, and that has to be raised by the appellant or reasonably raised in the record. And that's not different just because the Federal Circuit has now indicated that the appellant can assert extra scheduler on a combined effects disability basis. Once it has been asserted, the Secretary's interpretation of the FUN elements is that they are a sequential sequence, that element one has to be satisfied to move on to element two. But the analyses of each element are wholly independent, completely separate, and therefore an error with one would not cause an error with the second.
Okay. Counselor, what, given these facts, which there are a number of other conditions, obviously, that the appellant is suffering from, but given these facts, what would be the exceptional additional fact here that would kick this into the extra scheduler process? What more is necessary?
Your Honor, as I was trying to explain before, maybe not so eloquently, but because the rating schedule has been amended as many times as it has, it is more complete. It is hard to think of a scenario, especially with my non-medical knowledge, of what would kick this into extra scheduler. I mean, especially for the foot, the rating schedule contemplates all the way up to analogous with amputation, complete loss of the foot. It's hard to imagine a scenario beyond a severity of that nature. But certainly the regulation is there in case that is the case. And, you know,
the unlisted conditions that the appellant referred to, flat feet, moderate stress fracture, and heel spur, wouldn't be enough.
Well, the flat fee he served is connected for, but yes, the others would not be enough. They are contemplated in the rating schedule.
Well, how about gout?
I believe gout is also could also be contemplated in the rating schedule.
Here's what I'm struggling with. To me, the phrase foot injuries other must have a meaning. And to me, it's clear and unambiguous. But it means all these other conditions. Doesn't mean other conditions necessarily service related. Where am I wrong?
Well, service related would go towards it not being rated unless it's been service connected. But the other really goes to whether there is no other diagnostic code that could be applied that doesn't contemplate this particular foot injury. But the word injury with the other just means that together that has to imply that, or that has to mean on its plain meaning that it's only applicable for a foot injury.
So you have the Secretary's view of unambiguous, and we have the appellant's view of unambiguous. We're going to have to decide that.
Yes, I would also point out, however, that the appellant's definitions for injury, they come from medical websites or medical dictionaries, and I think also tort law in some cases. The definitions that we have indicated in general counsel's opinions all define injury within the context of Title 38 and all make it clear that it has to be some sort of external trauma and not a degenerative process.
Counselor, are you aware of anything in the record that indicates there was an external trauma to the feet?
No. In fact, Your Honor, in the record, on the record on page 713, there's a treatment record, May 2008, where the appellant specifically denied any trauma event known, no strain in service, anything like that. And then in 711, a record at 711, there was an April 2008 bone scan of the feet where the doctor specifically said this is his conditions were due to degenerative changes, not trauma.
Okay, thank you.
Well, what about record page 924? This is the Madigan Army Hospital or wherever. You have that?
I'm getting to it.
It was prescribed orthotics and something called Boston boots. Do you know what Boston boots are?
I don't 100% know, but it's some sort of orthopedic type of aid because he was having foot pain from his arches.
Well, I can't read the doctor's handwriting on 924. Can you enlighten us as to whether there's a reference to an injury, a service-connected injury for which he was treated while he was in the service here in 1998?
No, he was not treated for an injury. What was going on here is that his shoe gear was causing pain because of his
boots, his army boots were causing him pain.
Correct.
And he was prescribed something else.
Correct.
This is a non-injury situation in the service.
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
All right,
well, if there are no further questions, again, it's the Secretary's position that the August 2014 board decision be affirmed for the reasons stated today. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel?
Your Honor, the Secretary claims that the veteran's additional diagnoses are not part of his claims. However, the Board looked at all of the veteran's diagnoses and symptoms and implicitly recognized those as part of his increased rating claim. That's on record page 20 through 22. Diagnostic Code 5284 does not cover the veteran's full disability picture. It does not cover his specific symptoms that were not listed under Diagnostic Code 5276, Diagnostic Code 5276 does not cover the veteran's full diagnostic disability picture. Diagnostic Code 5276 does not necessarily cover his level of severity either, because it only relates to the level of severity he incurred due to his pes planus. The board has to address this in the first instance. It did not do so because it misinterpreted Diagnostic Code 5284 as not applicable to the veteran's case. The secretary also relies on VA General Counsel Opinion 9-98. This opinion does not support his position. 9-98 specifically says that Diagnostic Code 5284 contemplates a wide variety of foot injuries. As stated, the term injury refers to any damage or harm. Thus, Diagnostic Code 5284 is a catch-all code that contemplates a wide variety of the veteran's foot diagnoses. Even if the veteran's diagnoses are not covered under Diagnostic Code 5284, the board still erred in its extra scheduler analysis. The secretary agrees that the first step under Thune is to compare the level of severity with the rating schedule. Here, the veteran's level of severity necessarily includes his effects on employability. All of the examples that the secretary gave regard to hospitalizations, effects on medication, these are all considerations that the board needs to consider in determining the first step of Thune. This was made clear in 6-96. This doesn't mean that it necessarily leads to a grant of extra scheduler rating. It's merely for the board to consider whether referral is necessary. It's similar to a McClendon analysis. There, the issue is not entitlement to service connection. It's merely entitlement to a VA examination. The court held that that's a low threshold. Here, the veteran is not asserting that he is entitled to an extra scheduler rating. He's merely stating that his disability picture raises the possibility that his current diagnoses are not adequately contemplated by his current rating.
Okay, Counselor, that's directly in opposition to what the Secretary just said, that in fact some of these conditions, symptoms were contemplated by the rating schedule. Is there, in response to one of my direct questions regarding flat feet, moderate stress fracture in the head spur, the heel spur, the issues that you articulated were unlisted. In your view, obviously, this is enough to get us to extra scheduler, right? In the Secretary's view, it's not.
Your Honor, the veteran's diagnoses that are not specifically listed are plantar fasciitis, the heel spur, and the moderate stress fracture. Those are considerations for the board to analyze under step one of the extra scheduler analysis. It's not necessarily enough for the director to grant it. The prejudice here is that the board misinterpreted the first step when it only listed the veteran's symptoms and concluded that they were contemplated. It did not assess the veteran's overall disability picture and determine whether or not the veteran's current rating adequately contemplates that disability picture. The secretary also objects to using the medical dictionary to define the term injury. However, that's the proper use of the term. That's the proper way to define a term. The secretary has to have a rational basis for distinguishing between injury and disease in this particular instance. He has made no attempt to explain why a veteran who is already service-connected needs to establish the origin of a disability in order to be rated under a certain diagnostic code. Your Honor, if there are no further questions, I'd ask the court to remand this case. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The matter is under advisement. The court will now recounsel.
All rise.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you.